Not a great way to begin our week. We've had Deontay Foreman, although that doesn't seem like a big deal. We had Les Alexander selling the Rockets. We don't know what's going to end up happening there, but it's not. But you'd rather have stability than not stability, especially right. with an owner who's been pretty good. And then we've got one of the bright young stars of this city, Carlos Correa, being out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb.
The first two things were mild disturbances when you compare them next to, when you contrast them with what it felt like to find out that Carlos Correa was going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
It was longer than that, isn't it?
Well, I put it at 6 to 8 just
6
now.
To 8. Okay, that's correct, because they were talking late September is probably when you're going to get him back, which is kind of a key moment, kind of a key chunk of time for a Major League Baseball team.
Kind of a key moment.
It was entertaining yesterday watching various teams around the AL West question aloud, hey, is this a window? Is this an opening? And then to have the door slammed shut in their faces, the Astros went about their business in summarily dismissing the Seattle Mariners. Brad Peacock had a hell of a night, going what we all wish all these starters to do more often, going 7 innings in a 3-hit effort. And Marwin Gonzalez, the guy that's replacing Carlos Correa is hitting over 300. The guy that's replacing Carlos Correa last night is a revelation this year, and it's nice to see him get this opportunity, even though it's for all the wrong reasons. It's nice to see a little bit more Marwin Gonzalez. Ultimately, though, as we've been saying for a long time, this is all about how do you do in the playoffs, and then how do you do with Correa only having a little bit of time probably when he comes back to get himself back into shape.
I was doing a bunch of reading about guys who have had this injury.
Yeah.
Mike Trout had it this year. Andrelton Simmons had it last year with the Angels. And it sounds like actually a pretty, normal,
straightforward.
Recovery. Yeah, I'm guessing he'll have surgery either today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has to immobilize it for maybe a few days. But then after that, like you start working on rehabbing and getting the strength back in there.
Yeah.
And Trout basically went from like late May to just now. And now he's back. So that puts you on a pretty decent timetable,
mm-hmm.
knock on wood.
It's a decent timetable. It's just always a question as to how sharp are you when you get back. And obviously that 8 weeks includes his rehab time in the minors, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coming back and playing and everything.
Yeah, okay. And that since it's September, they might need to like send him to different places because chances are the minor league season might be over in a lot of different places. Where were you when
you
got
playing in like a Mexican independent league?
Maybe. I mean,
that'd
Kyle
be awesome.
Schwarber last year was playing in the Fall League, and then he was all of a sudden playing in the World Series, which is kind of weird. Where were you when you
got the news? What was the last thing we did where...
I have a new
where
bit.
Where was the last got the news moment?
Chris Paul,
that's right.
I have a new thing. Let's do it.
There was Chris Paul, and then there was this year so far, there have been two got the news moments. There was the Brock Osweiler trade.
Yeah.
I remember clearly I was watching a movie and had just committed to not checking Twitter while I was watching the movie to enjoy the moment. It was Gone Girl.
That was too hard.
It was Gone Girl. I was watching Gone Girl, and then like 3 minutes later,
you gotta focus.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to like pay attention to Gone Girl while I'm absorbing this Brock Osweiler trade.
That's kind
impossible.
Of a complex movie.
I still don't know what the hell happened in Gone Girl. And in the second one was what? We just said it.
Brock?
No. After
Chris
Brock.
Chris Paul.
And now this is the Carlos Correa news. The Carlos Correa isn't a death knell or anything, though. So I don't know if I'll remember where I was with the Carlos Correa news.
My new bit is, no matter what happens...
Where were you? Okay.
If it's anything sort of big, where were you when this happened?
Oh, you know what? I was in my doctor. My daughter was getting her eyes examined.
Okay, well, that's fun.
Yeah, and she's like, A-E-Q, and then all of a sudden you hear me go, what? I screwed up her flow.
Are you guys at all concerned about this? Because yesterday, I mean...
Of course I'm concerned about this.
I'm not trying to... you guys basically thought he was just going to sit out for a week, and then he would be back,
I'm going to hunt you down and stab you by the end of the segment.
Why are you doing this to Mike?
You want the audio? I have the audio.
Absolutely,
of both of y'all.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you guys didn't seem that concerned about it. Now this happens, and we just don't seem concerned. Here is the conversation on Carlos Correa's injury yesterday in headlines.
I think they might put Correa on the DL.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Correa, after the game last night, said that he felt really bad last night with it, and he also said that it's the same thumb that he injured when he slid into home in Atlanta 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And Landry and I asked AJ Hinch about it, and he's been playing through soreness. I think that this team has been very cautious with its pitchers with health. So if Correa is indeed struggling with this hand-wrist thing, then I think they could give him a week and a half
but
off.
But you're not. Okay, now this is where... Okay, so you're concerned about this, whereas Correa's still been playing great.
Yes.
Correa's been awesome so far. And okay, maybe he takes a short trip to the short DL.
This is a
no big deal, in my opinion. And yet you're concerned about that.
Okay, I will completely.
For anybody that just tuned in, that was a rebroadcast.
I will
from yesterday.
Totally defend what I did there. Because think about that. There's
you said that you thought it might be serious. They're going to send him to the DL.
Now, there's no way I would know on Tuesday morning that it would be 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
Because he had the injury. He played with the injury. There's no way I would know, hey, he's got a torn ligament in his thumb. How would I know that?
Yours is completely fair. And he's had a couple other incidents this year where he's had to leave in the middle of a game.
Yes.
With things like this. The hand, forearm, elbow type stuff.
Listen, compared to how I sound about Lance McCullers, I was like an 8 on the concern scale for me on Tuesday morning about Correa.
I revisited my concern over McCullers last night as I was watching Peacock Deal. And I'm less concerned than I was. I don't know. Mike, I'm trying to... Mike, I want a little... I don't want to be one of these people that goes out and creates turmoil in my life so I have some kind of drama. But so I do it on the baseball diamond. So before we knew about Correa, the severity of Correa's injury, I at the very least have to wring my hands over McCullers' slow start back from the DL. Okay? Can you give me that a little bit?
That's fine.
But realistically, he's struggling with his control. And as we know with Lance, Lance has a way of fixing these things. He has a way of figuring these things out. Peacock's been phenomenal, though, by the way.
Yeah, he has been.
Peacock in his last 5 starts is let's see, where is he? He's 1.82 ERA in his last 5 starts, 5-0.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, we get Kyle McHugh back on Saturday. I said we, didn't I? What a D-bag.
Well, that's why y'all aren't concerned about anything. Y'all just the Astros are fine.
I just pulled the, like, hey, we. Now that the Astros are the best team in baseball, it's all about we.
Carlos
We're
Correa.
Going. We took care of the Mariners.
Here's how good Correa has been so far this season. In terms of war, he is only 3rd in baseball right now among position players.
Only 3rd?
Only 3rd. It's Altuve, Aaron Judge, and Carlos Correa.
Wait, what do you mean only 3rd?
Well, why did I say only 3rd?
I don't know. I was trying to figure this out.
You what
know?
A bomb.
I meant only in like a good way.
He's only 3rd.
I meant only in a good way. So I guess based on that stat, he's 4.8.
Can't even beat Altuve.
I guess it might cost you
what
a few
is his
wins.
War right this moment?
4.8.
Yeah. I don't buy war. I don't like. You know what I don't like about war? I just wish it wasn't called wins above replacement. I don't like the calculus there. Like as far as just call it whatever above replacement.
You mentioned
performance
that.
Above replacement or whatever. Like okay, but if you want to take it by the strict literal definition of wins above replacement, you take away 4.8 wins from the Astros, they're still sitting pretty.
Yes,
they're still sitting way, 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 way above everybody else in the AL West.
Well, let's hear from the main people in the organization, AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, on the loss of the Astros star shortstop for a while.
Yeah, you know, it's a reality in our sport. Things are going to happen, but it's a tough blow. He's a big presence in our lineup, on our team. You know, to see someone go down like that, it's tough for everybody. We'll absorb it, and we'll have the next man up, you know, continue to play. We'll get him better, welcome him back sometime in September, and move on. But there's no doubt it's a punch in the gut when one of your best players is down for a while.
This whole season has highlighted the value of Marwin Gonzalez. The fact that you look at his numbers and you wouldn't imagine that coming from a utility player. The fact that he can play all these positions and he plays them well. Not just plays them, but plays them well. So Marwin already has been playing like a full-time player, so I don't expect that to go up too much, a little bit more. And Bregman's been playing too, so it's some other guys are going to have to fill in.
So it sounds like it's going to be mostly Marwin and a little bit of Colin Moran who they brought up yesterday, especially against right-handed pitching. I believe we have Ron Feinstein this morning?
Yeah, you guys are getting some national burn right now. Ron Feinstein, the evil brother of John Feinstein, he kind of lit you guys up. You sure you want to hear this?
If he's the evil one, what does that make John?
John's positive. Ron
John's
is really
positive?
Hard on people. Yeah.
All right, this I'd say the slightly more evil brother of John Feinstein.
Yeah, here's Ron.
I'm Ron Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. It's sad that although some of the smallest things in life can have the biggest impact on some of the things we care about most, we still take them for granted. The thumb is one of the smallest parts of your body, but it can lead to many, many big events, in life. The late, great Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert would simply raise their thumb, which would lead to the enjoyment of some of the best works of cinema of our lifetime. When you're desperate and you need a ride, just stick out your thumb and you can get a ride to your destination. So why is it that in sports, where physical activity matters the most, do we take for granted the thumb? This was on display Monday night when Astros shortstop Carlos Correa winced in pain to a near death after he swung and missed at a pitch and held his thumb. The lack of respect for the thumb was once again on display when Sports Radio 610's Mike Meltzer in Houston minimized the impact of the thumb and basically said that Carlos Correa would just need a couple days to rest. Two spots over from the thumb is the middle finger, which was pretty much stuck up to Mike Meltzer when news came out yesterday that the Astros' World Series hopes were crushed as Carlos Correa went to the disabled list for 6 to 8 weeks. Isn't it ironic that Mike Meltzer, just one of the many that takes something so small yet so big for granted? However, he wasn't the dumbest person on his show because his co-host, Seth Payne, earlier that day in an interview with a Houston TV station, said that Beyonce owned an NFL franchise. Apparently, small things like the thumb aren't the only things they take for granted in Houston. Apparently, facts are a sidebar, too. Doesn't that suck? I'm Ron Feinstein.
That's actually, you know what? If you had made that, you've got the flow. Like, you could write those for John Feinstein. If you made that serious, that was pretty good, man. That was absolutely true, by the way, about me saying that Beyonce owned an NFL team. I was on with Lauren Del Rico and KHOU before I had breakfast or coffee yesterday morning, and I was trying to make a joke about Beyonce potentially owning the Rockets, and somehow I switched her name with Jay-Z owning the Nets and said that Beyonce had owned an NFL team. I messed up the league. I messed up the actual person. I messed up everything.
And this aired.
No, that was aired. Oh, yeah, baby. It's still there on Twitter.
This is the way we want to represent our show. I like it.
That was broadcast on television.
Brian McTaggart will join us at 9:15 this morning to give us the latest and his take on the impact and the severity of the Carlos Correa injury. But the good news is the Astros won last night 6-2. Here's what we've got. Contrary to popular belief, the Texans actually did something well on offense last year, but it may not necessarily apply when training camp begins next week. We will